What is a front end?
Front end engineering.
Hello, and welcome to the Story Points Podcast. My name is Roger King.
Wait, no, that's me.
And I'm Joe Misery.
Just kidding. My name is George Marcantonis.
So for today's episode, we're going to be talking about front end development. It is a part of software engineering where we, as engineers, build the what most commonly a lot of people will interact with, the UI or the front end. So with that being said, this is the Story Points Podcast. My name is Roger King, founding engineer at Balanced.
And I'm Joe Misery, senior software engineer at SeatGeek.
And I'm George Marcantonis, front-end engineer at Capsule.
I'm Greg Mead, the non-tech voice of the show.
And today we have another guest with us who is taking a UI UX online courses, and it is so that she can make her transition into the tech field. And if you want to introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Annie Kitagawa. I am a visual merchandiser at Michael Kors. Thanks
Great.
For having me.
We are excited to have you. So, Joe, take it away.
What?
Is.
Explain to me.
What is a front end?
Toss it to the senior software engineer.
What is front end? Tell me.
Yeah, it's
Side
a great
note,
question.
I think Greg's intro should be, I am the non-tech voice of the people. Because he represents the questions.
You have the people's elbow.
I'm the people's champ.
I am the people.
Great. I'm glad we got that out of the way. So what is the front end, Joe?
What is the front end
the
even?
People want to know, Joe.
I mean, so would you consider, Joe, a command line tool or CLI front end?
See, I feel like you're baiting me into this because... Normally, you wouldn't think that it is.
When Joe has a point to make, his voice gets much louder.
Hold on. Before he goes further, I need to know, like, in terms of your current jobs, who's front end, who's the other side, back end?
Actually, I guess that, like, so the full stack of software is usually front end, back end, and then the infrastructure work.
Okay. So, which, like, because I think it'll be interesting to see how you all talk about it, depending on what
that's
you're
true.
Currently
yeah,
doing.
Yeah.
So, just, like, real quick. What is each one of you's, I guess, what is your position mainly?
Hi, I'm Roger King.
I'm George Marcantonis, front-end engineer.
The people don't care. The people want to know front-end or infrastructure.
I'm more on the infrastructure side.
Okay.
As Joe states during his other intro that he mixes every now and
then. I haven't mixed that one in a while.
Oh, my turn now.
Yes.
What is it? Definition of front end? Yeah. Oh, anything?
No. Hold on. Where you're currently working, is it more of a front end position or does it fall under?
Yeah, that's why I say front end engineer.
Yeah, there you go. I don't listen to your intro. I'm thinking about what I'm going to say next.
Yeah, he's after you.
I
want to
point that out. In a lot of these episodes, I'm like, holy shit, I really don't remember him saying that. It's probably because I had a point in my head I didn't want to forget.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Roger?
Next. I get that.
So I work along the full stack.
Okay.
Because Roger is the only engineer.
Yes.
He has the special title.
Hence founding engineer at
Balance. All
right, Balance.
So let's get the infrastructure guy's definition of front end.
Well, so like what Roger was trying to bait me into was that like a CLI is technically a front end because that's like what you're interacting with as, I guess, an end user.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's not like, it's not really visual, right? But you're still.
A good question for you is like, do you know what a CLI is? Command line tool.
Nope.
Joe, take it away.
Yeah, Joe, take it away. Front end expert.
Hey. He went first. You gotta, be fair. It's gotta be you or George now.
I'm going to say front end is anything the user interacts with. And CLI is just when you type something in terminal and it says yes, no, type Y/N, that's front end.
What's the terminal?
Yeah.
So have you ever run like an installer, like install World of Warcraft or something?
Hell yeah.
So like that's kind of a CLI tool in a way. Because you can actually run that from like on Windows, it would be called Command Prompt. I don't know if you ever had to run Command Prompt to do anything.
It's like whenever you see a hacker on a movie and there's like the black box and they're typing
perfect.
Into
yeah,
it,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the Command Prompt.
And it's bullshit half the time.
But it's like, it's just a way of interacting with the computer with just like straight text. You're not clicking around. You're not, right. you know, pushing
you're
any buttons. You're just
almost communicating directly with it.
Yeah. You're running commands in the prompt.
Got it.
Do you remember at Zillion when
yes.
you started and I was like, what are you doing? He's like, where's the UI that I click with? And I'm like, you're going to learn the
wow.
terminal and learn to love it.
I love it now.
So I played around in Python a little bit since listening
oh.
to the show. So I have a little familiarity with some of the stuff you're talking about. Haven't done anything significant whatsoever, but just like poked around a little
bit. Did you run a Hello World?
I did, yeah. That's like
nice.
The first thing they teach you.
That's it. Put it on your resume.
Yeah, you know Python now.
Python.
All right. We're going to have to find a new voice of the people.
Yeah. I wonder who that could be. So what other things do you guys would you guys consider like front end? I guess anything with the UI, but like what's a good example?
Windows.
I was going to say Windows.
All of Windows.
All of Windows.
Yeah.
But George, that's an operating system.
Like cleaning windows, looking out of windows?
No, like Windows Windows that has to update constantly. Yeah, because if you think about it, like Windows, the operating system, is an interface for you to do things on your computer hardware. So like if I want to play games, Windows is like the UI I have to use to run Steam. Unless I have a Steam Deck.
So well, kind of bring it full circle, right?
Yes.
We have a front end or a UI. What are those things calling?
APIs.
Wow. Now's a great time to plug our last episode. Please listen to episode 6, API the beer.
API the beer.
So if you want to know what it is,
not
we're not going to tell you. Go listen to the episode.
Well, it's actually an interesting thing you mentioned there, George. Like playing games, right? The entire game basically is a front end.
Yeah,
yeah,
true.
And just building games is like, it's way too difficult. You have to know a lot of like physics mm-hmm. and all that to actually like build game UI. It's different than like
a Annie, are you good at physics?
I freaking suck at physics, so I'm a little worried now, but...
It's okay. You don't have to worry about physics for UX.
Yeah.
Unless there's
UI.
Like scrolling involved.
That's for the. Yeah. It depends actually what part
well,
of UI or UX you'd
Here's
get
a question.
Into.
What is the difference between UI and UX?
Ooh, Annie.
We all turned our heads and looked at Annie.
Oh my God. Oh
Did they teach
my
you this?
Class yet.
It's okay. I don't think I know either.
I guess UI.
Front end engineer just... doesn't know? Sorry.
It's all the same. It's all the same.
Are you guys going to correct me if I'm wrong?
We're going to try.
Okay, great.
Why does everyone
Roger
might. Finger at me?
You're our fact checker.
That's true.
So currently I'm just, so I'm taking a boot camp and right now I'm just doing the UI portion and that's really just what it looks like. And then the user experience I think is really kind of how the user is interacting with it, kind of the... I don't want to say psychology behind it, but kind of the reasoning to why they're using it, like why they're, you know, interacting with this button that's on the right or like mm-hmm. why this.
Why their attention
together.
Goes to something.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my understanding of it.
Yeah. It's similar to like why did iOS put the in Safari in their latest OS?
Yeah.
Why did they put the search bar at the bottom or nav bar?
Took me like 3 weeks to get used to that.
But the reason, I think, is because your hand, the phones have gotten so big, your hand's at the bottom.
Yeah,
the
no, it,
there,
it makes sense.
Yeah.
But
so.
But
I'm
yeah.
sorry if I missed. Did you say what UI is? Are you talking about user interface? Or is it actually mean something else? Because when I hear UI, you mentioned video games before, I think of user interface.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So exactly. it is user interface, and then UX is user experience.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Good to know. Yeah,
but
think UI, like as a long-time gamer, is like extremely important because there have been games where I'm excited to play and then I see the UI and I'm just like, And then there's a lot of games that give you tons of customization because everyone has like different feelings on how they want it to look. So,
mm-hmm.
And that's a front end thing.
Yeah, it's a portion of the front end. So it's actually interesting of like, where does UI and UX fall into front end development? For us as engineers, that's kind of where things get handed off to us. Like I work with a product manager, and he's the one designing the balanced website, the balanced app, and he hands it off to me, and I actually have to build it to spec. So pretty much I take pixel by pixel, making sure everything is properly spaced, because there's reasonings, like Annie said, of like the user experience and why.
Yeah, I can only imagine too, especially since your company aims towards like the older generation.
Yeah.
Like that's probably even more vital, because you have to make sure that they're comfortable with that, especially if they're not familiar with that type of thing.
Yeah, it's like an interesting thing of one of the co-founders said is like, do we make our UI almost like a generation behind, because that's what the older generation is used to, or do we keep it up to kind of the current standards? And we push to keep everything to current standards because we want to treat older adults the same as us, right? They're not that much older. I mean, they are older, but in terms of like technology, like they're used to it. They should,
yeah,
like, we want to treat them as like one of us. It's not like they're special, right? Like what a lot of like brands do.
So would you, when you say that, are you going to use modern technology and make it look sort of older, or...
I mean, the way we went is to make it more modern. So, like...
So, it is as sleek as, like, a regular, like, front end for something that you would design yourself, basically.
Yeah, and it doesn't go off too far of what, you know, what it looked like, I don't know, let's say 7 years ago. It's really just doing certain things, right? So, like, very minor gradients where it's not too kind of, like...
talking about like
materially,
yeah,
you know what I mean,
more like monotone,
flat. Yeah, almost. It's like a flat kind of raised design, if that makes
right
sense.
So that's kind of what I was getting at, where it's like sort of like an old school design, but you're still using modern tools to design that, basically.
We're always taking modern trends.
Okay,
whatever tools you're using of how to build a front end, right, whether in terms of technology, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Have they discussed any of this, like, in your class or anything like that yet, in terms of, like, modern trends and things like that?
Yeah, actually, one of the lessons that we go through are kind of how trends have evolved. They go through different kind of grids and how website alignments are, and how it's evolved from desktop to also being able to be utilized mobile.
Have they discussed mobile first?
No, we're actually learning a lot about the desktop first. And so when you mentioned text size, I was like, oh, 22. Like, that's what we're learning right now. But it's interesting because right now we are doing everything grayscale. We haven't learned color yet. I think that's just another element they want to add on later. So it's been really interesting. But yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. That's like interesting stuff when you start talking about colors and like why does a certain color make people feel more comfortable, or even to like dumb it down, not even talking about colors anymore. Websites will purposely put icons of locks on the screen on their UI just to make you believe it's more secure.
More
so
secure.
It makes you feel more secure and trustworthy of the app.
So I have a question, like I think it would be relevant for all of you. Does your companies now treat mobile equally, or is it kind of evolved a little bit past like desktop and stuff like that?
If anything, mobile has become more important just because almost everyone has an iPhone. Sorry, Annie. But like everyone has a mobile phone.
Apple.
So everyone has like a smartphone. Everyone's downloading apps. And I think the majority of traffic now comes from mobile devices. So yeah, everyone is mobile first. That's where the term comes from. Mobile first. And, yeah, desktop is kind of like second to that.
Yeah, and when we build the design for the application, we always start with the mobile.
Yeah.
Then they make sure it scales out to desktop, because desktop is always going to be like the second class, whatever
it's,
you call it.
No,
yeah.
It's funny because second class, like, personally, if I want to go buy a ticket on SeatGeek I would go on the website. I would go online. Like, I still do almost everything on the computer.
Same.
Nice.
And part of that is because I'm, like, a peasant with the 64-gig phone. So, like, I can't have any more apps. Like, I have to take...
Wow. You also have a kid. So, you have to take...
Too many videos and pictures of my kid. So, like, you know, like... Mobile web. Just add and delete apps every day. It's like, oh, I need to do this today. Let me download the app and then delete it right away. So, like, for me, I still go to the desktop. But, like, I don't know, Joe, have you seen, like, a trend where – or not a trend, but
no, I think
was
like,
it really desktop heavy and then over the last few years it's changed, or has it been going on for a while?
I think historically for us, even a lot of our traffic has been mobile web. Mm-hmm. So, like, even – you have apps, but, like, also mobile web.
Yeah,
and like, desktop is definitely lower.
When people say mobile, it includes, like, an iPad, a tablet, too. So it's not just, like, your phone. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And then there's also, like, limiting kind of factors to, like, web on mobile versus a native application.
That's what I was
gonna
ask.
It's two different worlds.
Yeah. Does that still count if someone goes to Safari on their phone and looks up your website? Is that still considered mobile?
Yeah, that would for us be like when you build a web application, when you go through Safari versus a native application you build or you install on your phone, it's completely different technologies and two different code bases in general.
All interacting with the same API though.
Exactly.
So please call back.
Episode 6.
Yeah, good so call that back. I participated in the last episode. So have all of you held front end positions at some point in your careers?
I have been stuck
obviously
there.
If you're currently doing it, the answer is yes, so Roger, yes, but
did you just say I've been stuck?
No. I just said I've always been doing it.
Oh.
By choice.
Hey, blink if you're in trouble.
Hey, front end has expanded, but we'll get into that.
Yeah. So maybe we should talk a little bit about a little bit about like how do you build applications, right?
Okay.
So we touched on it just a little bit of like web versus like iOS or an Android phone. So if you're interested in doing front-end development, what are some technologies that the listeners can
react?
What are you reacting to?
That's kind of it. No, just react.
That's it?
Just react. Just Google react.
Does leak code
support that?
Taking
notes, Annie?
They do not,
no.
Actually.
No.
Well, let's take it like a step back before React, right? So when you build a website, like back in the day, we would have HTML, CSS. CSS is kind of how you would style the website. HTML is the kind of the markup language. I don't know how else to describe that. And then JavaScript, which was actually made it more like interactive. And you can make the UI kind of do things of like something spinning and so on. And throughout the years, things have definitely progressed where now, like, I don't write HTML. But back in college when I learned it, we were writing HTML all the time. Mm-hmm. Very little touching CSS. I'm actually using JavaScript to do a lot of that now.
Frameworks? What? React? Look, all it is
shout
React.
Out Facebook.
Yes, but back in the day, you had to write everything separately, HTML, CSS, JavaScript. Nowadays, it's very common to just write kind of like there are some tools called frameworks, which are like ways to build websites, and they kind of mix everything in one. So instead of working on like three separate files, you can kind of do everything in one. And I guess it's very built around like developer experience. So it's very easy to like spin up a new project and make some changes.
Did you learn that stuff through like your boot camps or through like work, just working?
I mean, me personally, both. Like, I wasn't used to it, and so I forced myself to, like, create a project and play around with it.
Would you
see.
Say you mean a side project?
I was just thinking that,
kind
too.
Of, yes.
That's interesting.
Wow. I wish I could listen to something about side projects specifically.
Shout out Story Points.
Hyperlink episode 3?
Yeah, I honestly don't remember.
I think it was two. Yeah, two. Three was retro.
It's like we're on like our seventh drink of the night. And it's yeah. Like, how many drinks have you had? And it's like, what'd you have for your second drink? I don't know. I know I had it at some point. I don't remember which drink it was.
But a good question that I have for, I guess, you and Annie is, do you consider design and development the same? So knowing that like we work and build the web application, would you assume we know how to design an application, meaning the UI?
Actually, that was like kind of a question I wanted to ask is that, so I think there, I think this is hand in hand with the question I want to ask. So when you work with a product designer or UX designer, do you feel like it helps that they do know that front end kind of workings? And I think it goes the opposite way, right? So if you're working front end, is it helpful that you do know how to design? Because I feel like they are different, but harmonious. So
first of all, I'm going to say...
I feel like she's made this podcast sound so much smarter. Harmonious.
All right. I'm going to need to bring a thesaurus to the next episode.
Word of the day.
I'm going to say, I think if you have built a website, you can design a website because it's kind of like, just do what I did in the past, but change the colors. But yes, it does help to have like some designers, give you like a mock-up because it's one less thing you have to think about, and you can blame them for things if people complain. But yeah, like at
so we're blaming you.
Yeah, pretty much. So at Capsule, like before I start a project, the designers will have a meeting with me and they'll go over their design. And I'm trying to word it very delicately, but like we have like a library of building blocks that we can use to build a website. So like a button would be one, a search bar would be one. They kind of reuse those over and over in their designs. So it helps me because it's essentially like, yeah, these are the pieces you need to use. You just Legos. Might have to tweak it here and there. Yeah.
Is
pretty
it
much
because of branding that they want to use the same buttons.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah. But of course, like they're UX designers, so like they have gone through, hopefully by the time they get to me, they have gone through the process of asking a user, hey, would you rather see this video, this GIF, or read this text? Sometimes they don't, and we have to change it
Isn't
on the fly.
Their job? Like...
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you should do that.
Got it.
But
now I'm taking notes.
Yeah. No. They it really does help, especially if they're like slightly technical, because when they review like what I've built, they'll go in the code and they'll say, hey, can you change this? This specific thing? And you know, it's different when you make a mock-up, because a mock-up is like a picture, but it's different when you have it built out and then you can like resize the screen, or you pull it up on your phone and it's different, so they can look at it like in different formats and give you that feedback. So definitely if they're technical, it does help. Because
to touch on that a little bit, how many times have we built a UI and then just take the window and just scale it back and forth, and like it doesn't look right? It's like, no one's gonna do that in the real world. No one will scale the window, and it's okay if it breaks at a certain point.
Too many.
But that also gets to a point of like, if you build something and you share it with us, we also will be like, yeah, that's not possible to do. Because some designers will do something crazy. And it's like, that's going to, because then you have to think about other things of like how fast the website is and how fast the application loads.
Story time. Give me an example.
I'm like, what do you got?
Greg just wants a story.
Oh, you want me to do the story?
You're the one bitching about it.
I mean,
about what?
If you make a ridiculous design, then it's going to slow down the website.
Yeah, so I don't make the same.
Let me just think.
I mean, I'll give you a common one that I almost run into like every couple of months. It's build this tool and there's like a search box or something. And I'll build the search box. And of course, when you type in, you should see results. But when you move the window, the results will move like not sync with the search bar. And that's just like, that's a pain for me because it's like, you have to figure out where the search bar is and then tell the results, okay, follow that.
Are you talking about the results or like the suggested, like a box with
whatever, the box that shows up when you start typing things? Yeah. Suggestions, the results, whatever. But that's like a common thing that they sometimes like leave out, and you run into that as you're building it, because when we're building it, we're resizing the window constantly just to make sure it doesn't break. And of course it breaks and we have to deal with like create portal, use ref. And yeah.
Now who's talking too technical?
Yeah.
Well, here's the question though. Like if you know that that's going to happen, why not just design it that way to begin with?
I'm pretty sure deep down in our little hearts, we're just hoping no one notices.
Yeah. No one will resize the screen.
I know I've done that.
All right.
I'm being honest. For me, it's really just like if someone wants to load a certain amount of information on the page. So if you have a ton of information and you're making a bunch of API requests to our backend services, not a plug, it sometimes that will really slow down the website. So if you see some websites, it kind of touches into front-end development. If you see a website load really quickly, but then you see a lot of loading, usually what they're doing is they're fetching the information on your end, so you're actually making the request out. While other times, if the page is just loading, right, nothing has showed up, that's what we call like server-side rendering. So pretty much our servers that host that front-end application is making the request for the data and then building the HTML for you to display onto your browser. So the HTML, CSS, and JavaScript is what your web browsers will interpret and then do what the code tells them to do.
So kind of putting less on the page.
Yeah.
Kind of to alleviate.
Sometimes it does depend on kind of how your, as a teaser, backend engineers build that data. Why are you laughing all the time? Are you mad that I didn't say infrastructure yet?
No. I'm a child and you keep saying back end.
No, that's really interesting because when I'm doing my coursework, you know, we're doing a lot of copy work right now, but when we do have to design our own and they give you kind of a template, not a template, that's the wrong word, a brief of what they want to see. When I look at other students' work, it's like, oh, they copied Instagram. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I want to do my own thing. And so that was actually really hard for me because they do give you a time limit on a project. So when I was talking to my mentor, I was like, yeah, I didn't want to do Instagram. He's like, well, why not? And I'm like, well, because it's been done before. He's like, there's a reason why, you know, it's been done because it works well for what you need. And I was like, oh, so that kind of helped. And it's good to know why things are done the way they are is because the research is done, or, you know, front end, back end, they're like, this is the way to go. So that's what I've also been learning. So it's really interesting.
Yeah. And then it goes into like the UI makes the application sticky. Have you heard that phrase before? Have you guys heard that phrase?
No.
A sticky app?
No.
Okay.
Wait, is it just like it sticks in your mind? Is that?
No.
Okay.
It pretty much.
Shout out Cinnabon.
Cinnabon.
So what a sticky application is. Try not to say the word.
Oh, app, I think I understand now. I get it.
Is when it keeps the user very focused on the application. So for example, TikTok, you just keep scrolling one video after another after another after another. It's very sticky, so the user wants to keep using the application and they never get off of it.
It's like a nicer way to say addicting, almost.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Cinnabon.
Also addicting.
So I guess a good example of that from like the UX perspective would be like clicking next versus just sliding your thumb. because like sliding your thumb is easier than just clicking a button. So creating like endless scrolling websites.
Oh,
like Reddit
gotcha.
Something.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you have to hit next page versus you could just keep scrolling and scrolling,
endless scrolling
on certain apps.
Yeah.
So
like Instagram.
Yeah. Like Instagram.
I think Instagram, so. Once the video is done, it just goes to the next one. You don't even have to touch your phone.
Like, yeah.
So that's an example of like keeping you locked in into a sticky app. So sticky.
So now can I ask my question about if you guys have all had front end experience?
Joe?
Are we not ready yet? Sorry, guys.
Keep with the notes, Greg.
I don't have it in front of me.
Oh, you're waiting for me?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's some foreshadowing.
What is the front end?
Definitely some foreshadowing, I feel.
No, I haven't really done a ton of front end stuff.
What are you doing here?
I've been asking myself that all day. But I've built like small like internal tools where I've had to stick a front end on it, and I'll like stumble my way through, add a search bar, add these text box, add buttons, things like that, just to get by. But it's like a, you know, it's thrown together over a couple weeks, not something that's really like done the research and design and all that fun stuff.
So then I have, or do you have something to add? Because then I have a two-part question. First part is for all of you, and then the second part is mainly for Joe.
Oh,
so
boy.
The first part is like when you're in school or if you're taking classes or boot camps, whatever, do you know specifically like this is front-end stuff, this is back-end stuff? Or is that like you just know based on like kind of the industry, or is that actually told to you in school? And then the part two for Joe – specifically is like when you were in school, did you know you wanted to do more infrastructure or more back-end stuff, which I know we'll get into in another episode? Like, do you not enjoy front-end work, or was it just more of a you took the first opportunity and ran with it and you just haven't had that chance to do front-end stuff? So we'll start with Roger and then George, and then because then Joe's got the double
okay,
question.
Nice.
Sorry, I was distracted by Shelby again. What?
Oh my god!
What was the first question?
Like when you're learning in school or in boot camps, do they say like this is front end stuff? Like you kind of know before you get a first job that you know what positions are front end.
We don't have that many listeners, so I'm not going to get roasted in the comments for this one. I feel like a lot of coding boot camp people.
Where would they comment?
That's true.
Shut up, Greg.
This is where you plug the email. Come on, plug the email. Send the
send your
storypointsdev at gmail.com.
Send your hate comments.
Was it storypointsdev?
Yeah, at gmail.com.
But I feel like a lot of you'll see front end developers coming out of boot camps. And the reason is because mostly schools don't focus on that. They focus on fundamentals. Mm-hmm. So like just the fundamentals of programming, right? So like the algorithmic type questions. But going into school, you have options of taking certain types of classes. Like I took web development classes, which is how I got into the kind of like building front end applications. And then I think at the very beginning, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do iOS development. I'm going to be a mobile developer, because that was the hot thing of like, smartphones just came out, and I was like, this is cool. I want to build my own app. And yeah.
What was the question?
Oh my gosh.
Like, did you know you were doing front end? Or like, since you didn't do the school?
I feel like we need a guy to keep us on track.
We need
right?
a guy with a sign over here.
Yeah, cue card. I need a cue card.
So
yeah.
I think I didn't know what front end versus back end was. And so initially I thought, I want to get into this. I just want to worry about making things look pretty, and that's it. And I thought, as I like got involved, I thought, okay, this is front end, because that's what I kept hearing. Little did I know, and I'm sure Roger's going to smile, front end is a lot more involved than that.
He's not smiling.
Front end can include like styling to fetching the information, And it could involve like also sending that information. So like front end is very ambiguous now.
To interrupt him just like really quickly, that's actually like why I asked you guys the question of like, would you guys think that we know how to design? Because a lot of times when people say, I want to do front end development, they're like, I'm designing the website. It's just different than an actual like front end engineering and then front end designer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know whether to ask this question now or wait till Joe answers, but like, so has the, I guess the definition of front end, it's changed a lot over like the years? Or should I say that for
after? I was
after,
about to sneeze. Okay, good. I think definitely it's gone more from like, you just make things look pretty to you're the one, you know, sending the information, receiving the information, making things look pretty, making things work. So it's definitely gotten like, it's spread out. Like I said, it's very ambiguous now. So like a front end engineer at one company might do like so much work, and at another company might do almost everything. So like at Capsule, it's very involved. I feel like we're writing, what's sending the information, what's receiving the information, what's sending the site. So like we're kind of doing all of it. But yeah, it's definitely changed.
Okay. So just in case you forgot, Joe, the question is why good you man. Know front end.
Thanks. I was gonna ask.
You simplified it a lot for him. Just
that's a good one. That's good.
Well, you know those infrastructure guys, you know, you gotta simplify.
Wow. So when I was in school, I didn't take any of these sort of classes, right? So like I went to school for computer engineering, which was more like hardware design.
Hold
so
on.
We didn't take any
Why
of these.
Why is it whenever you say computer engineering, you're like, computer engineering?
That was one time.
He's got to make it sound sexy.
Yeah.
People don't know what it is.
It's for the cast, dude. It's for the cast. All right, bro.
Computer engineering. No, so like computer engineering is more hardware. So like we didn't do any mobile, like actual like web development type stuff. So we didn't get into like front, like we wouldn't have a front end for basically any of the stuff that I was designing. Even like a CLI, we wouldn't have. It would be all like actual like chip level interactions.
This
so,
is a really dumb question. I'm like, it's a dumb question, but I'm being 100% serious.
Oh boy.
Would you like, did you ever take an OS class, like an operating systems class?
No, we had some, but I didn't.
Oh, I was going to
like
ask,
real-time operating systems, I think is what it was called.
Is this why like the BIOS menu is just garbage and ugly?
I don't know. Maybe.
All right.
Probably because you can't load a front end on like the chip.
JavaScript's come a long way.
Oh, maybe. So
SpaceX uses it.
So, like, does front end stuff interest you at all, or is it more like I never really learned it? I don't care for it. I like what I do.
I don't really like it.
So there's like, there's.
Sorry.
That is such an evil.
You gonna get into the
my what?
The back end.
Yeah, there's like
screw front end.
There are a lot of back end engineers and infrastructure people who are just like screw front end.
Ugh, front end.
Yeah, you don't know how to program if you're a front end engineer. That was like a huge stigma.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so, but that's not me. That's not me.
Oh, okay, buddy.
What, I mean, the way you say computer engineering,
it's not like
Joe,
I'm a computer engineer.
Right now, what do you
hey, can
say?
You say front end engineering real quick?
Yeah. Front end engineer.
See, he didn't say engineer.
You know, I'm
I have to go now.
I'm not a front-end engineer. I'm a computer engineer.
There you go.
Joe, do you have... Do
it's
you
a higher
know,
standard.
We didn't learn how to speak in engineering school.
Are you aware of any front-end engineer stereotypes?
Apparently, infrastructure engineers don't think very highly of front-ends.
I mean,
I've heard
was,
that today.
Yeah, that,
no, like,
that,
no I actually have heard that, actually, yeah. That, like... It was a stigma back in the day where like front end engineer was like, oh, you don't know what you're doing, become a front end engineer.
Yeah, thing. And it's because like a lot of it was just like writing CSS and mm-hmm. making the website look pretty. Well, now it's a lot more involved and you're doing a lot of the algorithmic things that you don't think you would actually do by displaying data on a page. So like your profile, there's a lot, there might be like what we call recursive functions, which a function just calls itself over and over again. So there might be those types of like algorithmic questions, which you learn in school, a little bit more in school, mm-hmm. in like fundamentals.
So you don't have to be afraid of getting made fun of, Annie.
I think, yeah, the stereotype is definitely like, if it's a back-end engineer and front-end work gets brought up, they say, no way, I'm not touching it. I'm not a front-end engineer. But a front-end engineer who is asked to do back-end work is much more open to it because they're like, yeah, okay, it's just work. So like, I guess back-end engineers
it's just work
have more of like a stereotype. Against a prejudice against front end.
Save, save it for the next episode.
Yeah.
So I think there was a part two to your question, Greg.
Well, the part two is what I was kind of what I asked. Like, when you graduated, were you willing? Like, if you were you only applying for jobs that were infrastructure or back end, or were you kind of open to anything? And would you have taken a front end job, or did you not feel comfortable enough because you didn't have that background?
Yeah, so...
Sorry, one more. Like, did you know that you didn't like that type of stuff
before like, you graduated? Actually, like, this is a little targeted towards you, though. It's like, why did it... Like, what about front-end turned you off on it?
So, there's a bunch of questions here, but...
Yes. Mine's more important.
I'll get to it.
Wow.
So, infrastructure stuff, like, I didn't even know it was a thing when I was in school, right? So... That was just something that kind of came along because there was a position open at Zillion and they needed somebody to do it. And I was like, oh, I'm bored of my current company. And they need warm bodies to like type push on buttons. The keyboard. Yeah. So I did it and then I ended up really liking it. So then I kind of stuck with it. Now, the reason I don't like front end is, well, like first when I got out of school, like I never touched front end. I did some... C++ and C#. So that was more back end. I mean, there is like front ends for those things. Well, I guess. Is there a front end for C#?
Yeah, Unity.
Yeah. So like, oof. I didn't play with any of those front ends. So like, I knew some of the back end software. So that's kind of what I was applying for. And like, wasn't even thinking about doing any front end stuff, basically. And then afterwards, for front end, like, I just, don't enjoy working on front ends. Like it's hard to get it to look the way you want it to, and I think I just don't have the patience to like.
But is it because you don't know what you want it to? Because I've been in your position where we're working on internal tools, and you don't have a designer. You are the designer. So
yeah. Well,
like,
so that is part of it. Where it's like I don't know. I like to come up with a design is like, all right, let's put two boxes on a page and like. I'll put a button there and like, that's good. Right. Gotcha. But I don't know. Like even if you had a design, like it would drive me nuts to try to match what the design is in the front end. Just
what's wrong. You don't like being told that, hey, this is off by 5 pixels.
I mean, that's never happened to me.
That happened to me on Friday.
Or this is pixel perfect, but I want you to change it anyway.
Yeah. Oh, this looks weird. Or my favorite is you're working on a specific like part of the UI. And then on like 3 pages down, they're like, yeah, this is broken. This is off by like 3 pixels. Like that has nothing to do with what you're supposed to be looking at.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
So I mean, more it's just like you're trying to do something and you're like, oh, let me just make this box bigger or move it over here. And I'm like, this is like the simplest stuff. And it's just like I couldn't get it to work the way I wanted it to. I mean, that's probably from just not having experience with it. But I don't know. It kind of just turned me off to the whole thing.
So now I have a question for Annie. Is this... Now that you're taking like the class, the UI class, is this something you've always been interested in and now you're taking like that leap, or is it something that you recently found like an interest in and now you're checking out what that path is like?
To be honest, I didn't know what this was until like a year ago. My coworker was like, oh yeah, I'm taking UI classes or whatever. And then at that point it was like middle of COVID, we both were like miserable at our jobs. So we kind of just got to talking. So that's kind of how I learned about it. I mean, obviously back in the day, I think we all kind of had like a live journal. And I don't know if you guys know, but I would like you know, type a really simple HTML to like make it look cool or whatever. So that's kind of how I taught myself Photoshop, which is what I use a lot in my work now. And I think that's part of the reason why I was able to excel at my current job, because I did know Adobe. But learning UI, actually, the skills are very transferable. And that's what my coworker was telling me. She's like, you know, we do this all the time. We make our, how to describe it simply, we make our guidelines for our stores. And actually, a lot of UI, UX, the way that it's applied kind of is interpreted in our guidelines. So she was saying how it's a very easy career to transition into. So that's kind of how I got into it. So yeah, it's a fairly new thing. But now that I'm learning Figma, and my mentor was telling me how, you know, he wasn't worried about how I was learning because I had previous Adobe skills. So it's been a really smooth transition for me, surprisingly. That's why I got a little worried, because I was like, am I doing it correctly? It's kind of a lot easier than I thought. But he's like, you have nothing to worry about, you know, this is great. So it's been
Making everything like its own individual tiny component?
Like in terms of buttons and things like that?
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm making the buttons and then I group them, then they're like its own little thing. Drop shadows are big. Very, very simple stuff right now. Because, again, like the boot camp that I'm going to, I'm actually not actually currently enrolled in the actual boot camp. I'm taking what they call is their foundations classes, which is anyone who's completely new to UI UX, and they suggest taking those first and then applying to the boot camp. So I'm learning really, really simple stuff right now.
So that was going to be like my follow-up is, you had some background that you said has transitioned well into this. Do you think like your current class would also be, if someone really had never even had experience with something like Photoshop, something they can get into if they're interested in, you know, what we're talking about today?
I think it won't be as smooth of a transition, only because in the class we do have a lot of you have to look at other students' work and kind of critique them. And there are people who have like 6, 7, 8 iterations of something. So you can kind of see the struggle there. And then also I think what helped me is you do get like a 3-hour time limit to create a project. And because I know all the hotkeys from Photoshop, it's really sped up my process. That being said, Figma, I haven't learned Sketch yet, but Figma is really just straightforward. So I think if you have experience with just interfaces in general, it's really easy to learn. So I would highly recommend it if anyone's interested.
Is this the Greg and Annie podcast? Like,
take it away.
I'm just here to ask the questions.
We'll produce. Cue card up.
That's your job.
Listen, I saw a lot of eyes and pointing when Figma came up. So,
shout out Figma.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we just wanted to say shout out Figma.
Need that sponsorship.
We're desperate for sponsorships. Yeah. But you touch Figma, right?
I have Figma installed.
Yeah, so like we use Figma. So, you know, at Balance, we're still building everything out from scratch, so it's a little bit different than like what George deals with.
Yeah.
So if you were to come on as a designer at Capsule versus Balanced, you would probably be building every component or individual asset from scratch at Balanced versus at Capsule. They probably have those already built out, and then they just build different screens or different larger components.
I've been on a call with one of the designers, and yeah, he like put together something super fast, and like he just hits a button, a menu pops out, he just drags and drops like buttons and stuff, and it's pretty quick. It's nice.
There's also like plugins. So George mentioned React before, which is a framework that we use, a lot of companies will use to actually build out the web applications, and they actually have a plugin for Figma that will actually take your design and turn it into a React component or React code. It is not the most performant, and that's why not a lot of companies actually use it.
It's nice.
I have another question. Thank you. Thanks, George. If you guys are done or not.
We're done now.
Okay.
You can proceed your podcast.
No, so like, so Annie, no.
My name's Greg Mead. I'm host of the.
So like Joe mentioned that he didn't really take any specific front. He was all computer engineering. But then you, Roger, also mentioned like in your courses, you kind of had to pick and choose. So for someone who may be, for a listener who may be in their first or second year of college or even in high school and they're thinking about getting into engineering, would you recommend that they specifically do like a certain split of classes? Or how would you, I guess, how would you, your brother-in-law, for example, let's say you rewind 2 years, how would you say like, this is a good way to figure out if you would prefer front-end engineering?
He's also a computer engineer.
Thanks, Joe.
RIT.
You didn't say it.
What is he studying again?
Computer engineering.
So, like, yeah, if someone, like, how would you tell a student to be like, this may be a good way to see if you're into front-end engineering?
I, like, it makes us sound really old, and we're only, like, 30, right?
Boy. Adult. Some of us. I have a kid.
But, like, technology back when we were in school wasn't up to speed to where we are now. So it's like, I don't know about you, Joe, but like when I thought about programming, it was very heavily of like what you saw in the movies of like that black terminal screen and like the random text, and that's all you really thought about. I never thought about like just web development or like building websites. Like when I went into programming, it was literally like, I just want to build an app. Like I was like, oh, this is cool. I want to build that.
Yeah, I think
whatever
that
is,
stuff
like, that's what I wanted to build. But not even back end. Like I just saw, like for example, Instagram. Right, that's a big one when we were in school. Like I just wanted to build a new Instagram, and like that was what I was trying. Like, okay, how do I get to that? So it's like, let me just build a website, and then from there it kind of like snowballed. And we talked about a lot with like just being curious about the field in general, and being like, okay, I know how to make the UI, but then how do I build it? Like the back end portion of it. And then it goes into like, okay, how do I build the infrastructure and all that? Yeah, actually, how do you build the infrastructure to support your back end and your front end? And how does everything get deployed out? And like, that was a reason why I switched from one company to another. It was because I wanted to learn like that skill. And that's why I did what Joe does now, is to like learn that skill set and to like get into this position to build your own app. But then, like, years later, it's much easier. Like, there's a lot of tooling out there that can help do all the different parts.
I'm sure front-end changing to include, like, more and more also helped.
For sure.
Because it's, like, it's more interesting. It's not just make things look pretty. Now it's, like, no, you actually have to do half of the work.
Yeah. So. And then to, like, get a little bit deeper into it, you know, we talked a lot about, or a little bit about JavaScript, right? JavaScript has always been, when we were in school, the web browser language, and then it went into backend. It even is in front infrastructure, like managing infrastructure. So it's like become, and even now mobile development. So it's become a language you could use everywhere, and a lot of like startups kind of blossomed out of that. Was because they can use one language, the same engineer can just do all the work.
Yeah, so it's more accessible.
But to answer your question, what they should choose, honestly, it depends on the personality. Like, do you care about how a UI is designed, or do you just care about how it works?
No, it's like one of those things, though. Like, in college, did you have, you probably, you're a different person, right, than back then. So, like, what's a good way for someone to get exposure to both to kind of see? I know that's tough because you've been out of school for a long time, and you don't even know how the curriculums have changed. So, you know, looking back to, like, side projects or something like that, is there anything that you can think of where someone can get exposure to both? Outside of, or
take,
even
take a web development class, you'll know quick whether you like to do the tedious little front end things of making it pixel perfect, or do you just want to care about how the data gets on the gets to the page?
I would say side project, because it's really like, do I care about the data on the page, like you said, or like manipulating that? Like, oh, let's say you create an account, like, do you just care about sending that information, or maybe like what happens once that information is stored somewhere? Like, do you do something with that? So just try it out. And yeah. Joe, your turn.
There's nothing for me to say here.
All right, then.
We got a question.
Thank you, caller.
Annie. Thank you for joining me on my podcast again. George, I have a question.
Yes.
How much creativity do you think kind of comes into play in your job?
Mine? None. no, I mean,
he just does what the designer tells
yeah,
him to do.
If you're given a design, you have, obviously, you have like a lot less decisions to make. But I think front end, back end, it doesn't matter. Like, anytime you're building something, there is some creativity in like, how are you going to do something? How are you going to store something? How are you going to worry about like, when you click this button, this happens, and then this is going to load this information, and that should, you know, update what you see on the screen. So like, there is creativity in all of coding.
Problem solving, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But definitely.
So,
yeah.
I read an interesting. Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you because it's like, it's relevant. I read an interesting article today asking, it was just titled like, why are software engineers getting paid so high? And then their first sentence was, programming is free. Anybody can learn it. Anybody can, you know, Greg knows Python. So why are they getting paid? Why are they getting paid so much? And it was, you know, we're getting paid to problem solve as opposed to writing code. Anyone can write code, but how someone does it is more effective than like the code you write.
Yeah. That's true. Like,
I mean, that's what it is at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Writing code, making it efficient, and making it look pretty.
To piggyback off Annie's question, and it's going to sound like an interview question, can you tell me a time when you had conflict with a product designer?
Are you asking me this for you?
This is an interview.
No, recently we had like some a lot of back and forths about like changing the design, and it came down to like, I don't want to make it sound bad, but it came down to like, is it worth my time to go back and update the UI 3 times based off what someone says, or should you make a design in Figma, show an end user that, and say, how do you feel about this? Would you change anything? Have them update it 3 times and then give that to me so that I just have to build it once. And my reasoning, because we were in like a meeting about it, my reasoning was like, I've seen them make it in Figma. It takes them 2 seconds. But for me to update the UI, it takes a lot longer. So like, please use the Figma, update that first.
It takes like 2 seconds.
And yeah, so like we had like a meeting about the process, and it worked out. Like, now they're using the Figma. They're showing that to users. They're getting the feedback, and
now
then
they're
giving
their
it
job.
To me.
I feel like that should have been the process before.
But yes.
Hey, don't be throwing shade at them.
Well, this is my podcast.
Cut that. So, Annie, I actually have a question for you. How would you feel if us engineers, as engineers, kind of gave suggestions to your UI?
As in what it looks like?
Yeah. Being like, oh, maybe we should do make the button up here instead of down here.
Well, I think that's kind of why I was interested in UI UX, because the UX part of it, you are researching with your users and kind of backing your design decisions with that. So I think that's kind of what caught my eye. So if you guys are suggesting, oh, let's put the button up here, and my users are like, we like the button down here because of X, Y, and Z, I can come back and say, well, the users agree that they would rather the button be down here. So that's actually, I deal with that in my current job, and I don't have that kind of backing and research to essentially back up my design decisions. So I think that's why this kind of job interested me. So to answer your question, I'm actually open to feedback, but I like the part where it's like, well, we can try it, but, you know, the users are the ones that have the say, and the stockholders too. But, you know.
Oh, my. She opened a can of worms with stakeholders now. That trigger anyone?
Have you had to deal with that, Greg, in your line of work, stakeholders?
Nope.
Well, you should be.
You're
happy.
Better off. Yeah, you're better off.
Can I jump in here with my because you mentioned it, and I want to go with the way I stereotype and visualize programming and computer.
Oh yeah, please.
Oh man. So obviously, the ultimate stereotype, like you said, is the black terminal with the green text, like hacking, like just
exactly Matrix.
Typing rapidly and just like doing stuff. And the computer engineering, I don't know why. I just picture like Joe with a set, like a welding helmet or something, just like like fusing hardware together with like sparks flying and stuff, like with just like a tiny little chip. I don't know, like that.
Hey, we had classes where we did that.
That's awesome. Okay, so I'm not too far off.
Well, not with the welding helmet, but
yeah.
You had a giant helmet
goggles.
With
you
like,
definitely wore goggles.
The gloves.
Goggles, yeah.
What an
we
engineer.
Had a little like smoke sucker thing here.
Smoke sucker.
Is that the technical term?
Exhaust vent. It's probably
smoke
the
sucker.
Correct term.
Smoke sucker it is.
I have one final question. Maybe final question. But aside from, since I'm new to UI UX, aside from my boot camp, you know, I know you guys don't know the curriculum, but are there any other things that I should kind of learn in my journey to becoming a UI UX designer? Or if I'm looking for a job, like programming, do you guys suggest that? Is there
I swear to God, George, if you say side project one more time.
Lead code.
Yeah. I was leaning towards lead code.
I mean, for like UI UX, something interesting I don't know if you've heard of it or might be interested in is Dribbble. And that's with 3 Bs.
Dribbble with 3 Bs?
Yes.
I haven't heard of it.
But whenever I have to build something like for my own side project, I would actually just like type in whatever kind of app I'm building. So like social media app, Dribbble. And then it will just show me different designs that people have made. And I'll get like kind of an inspiration from there. So you can kind of see trends or Product Hunt.
I would say pay attention to trends.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like iOS updated Safari and now the search bar is on the bottom. Things are on the bottom now. Like keep up with that because maybe like I've been asked on interviews, like how do you keep up with whatever news? So like maybe find a blog where they talk about design or UX and yeah. Bring that up. It shows that you're hip and cool. That's why.
Yeah. And then there's things like just seeing like design docs of like Google.
Ooh.
Google's design docs. So like their material design. You have an Android, so material design is what their UI is called.
Do you want her to go into it and like actually, yeah, because they have
Yeah. They have like they have the reasoning why their button is raised X amount or Y.
That actually sounds pretty useful.
You're an infrastructure engineer.
No,
what do you care about?
I'm just saying.
Shots fired.
I wasn't being facetious here.
So the reason I was giving you the are we wrapping up finger symbol is because I wanted to ask a question relative to the last episode. If your brother-in-law did his second take home.
Oh, yeah. What happened?